Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where two healthy and one mildly sick professionals, Hollywood professionals have.
I thought you were
going to
talk about my general weight problems when I said that. Ray's going to fucking going in hard.
Going
in
hard. We have an hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie. I am your sniffly host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, an anxious screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold, a hungry, hungry boy first and foremost, and a writer-director second.
Yeah, you are.
What are we talking about today, boys?
This week, everyone's favorite, second favorite marble-based plastic board game.
What's the first favorite?
Crossfire, obviously.
Oh, Crossfire sucks compared to Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Yo, kid,
spoiler
off,
alert,
dude,
we're doing Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Dude, Is Crossfire just reverse Hungry Hungry Hippos?
Holy shit.
Because it's like, it's someone took Hungry Hungry Hippos and was like, what if the hippos were barfing the marbles out as opposed to eating the marbles up?
And it was taking place in a 24th century futuristic battle arena.
Crossfire was like, what if we got Hungry Hungry Hippos, got rid of those two friends you don't want to play with, and had less marbles?
Hungry Hungry Hippos, yeah.
For those of us unfamiliar with this classic of childhood gaming, tabletop gaming, Will.
Hungry Hungry Hippos is a tabletop game made for 2 to 4 players produced by Hasbro. So basically, it's a board game where there's 4 hippos, everyone controls a hippo, there's a bunch of marbles bouncing around, and you just slap your hippo over and over again so that it will try to gobble up all the marbles, and the one who eats the most marbles wins, I think?
That's what an amateur player thinks. They just haphazardly slap the thing. There's another little trigger on the right, which is how you launch the marbles into the center. And how hard you hit that will also be how hard you launch it. It's all about getting the rhythm of launching the marble and then opening your mouth at the same time. So it's kind of like a pa-pa, pa-pa.
You launch the marble?
Yeah, you launch the marble. So everybody's got there's a row of marbles.
There's a row of Marlboros. It's called cigarette hippos. And they got to smoke as many cigarettes as they can.
All right, let's focus.
Okay,
let's
yes, you actually do. Each person, you have a little trigger and you launch the marbles in.
What is the thing that, do they all have guns? Like, what is in the fiction? Like, what are they shooting?
It's just, I don't know. I think that's just like food. I think you as the gamer are playing both the hippo and the environment. And you are launching the food. Into the,
so it's got PvP and PvE
at the same time. It's pretty groundbreaking game when you think about it.
All right, we're starting the clock.
So there was, people might remember there was a good song. Should we play the song or should I sing it?
I think you need to sing it.
I don't know what the beat is. I'll just try. And I don't have any.
Okay, Kanye, you don't even have the beat behind
it's
you.
It's a race. It's a chase. Hurry up and feed their face. Who will win? No one knows. Feed the hungry, hungry hippos. I had the extra hungry because I'm pretty sure that sounded better, right, than feed the hungry hippos.
It says feed the hungry hippos.
Oh. Who will win? No one knows. Feed the hungry hippos. Hungry, hungry hippos. Open up and there it goes.
All right.
Then they updated it in 1980, song is,
for the love
if you want to win the game, you've got to take good aim and get the most marbles with your hippo, playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos, Hungry Hippos.
They needed some more clarification from the gameplay standpoint. They're like, we need at least another 2 lines explaining how the hell to play this shit.
Well, you know what's weird is the original song is like, feed the hippos. So it's like, a kid would think like, so am I a zookeeper feeding hippos? And then the second one's like, no, you are the hippo.
Yeah, you're the
this
hippo.
Is your hippo. Oh, so I will say this is that Hungry Hungry Hippos is part of
this balanced breakfast.
No, it's part of the Elefun and Friends banner, along with Elefun, Mousetrap, and Gator Golf. So this could be the first movie
in a franchise, baby!
A little board game multiverse. That's all I'm going to say.
Let's make this a good movie first, kind of like they did with Iron Man. And then we'll have a little hint to Gator Golf, because of those, Gator Golf is definitely the most right for.
Gator Golf sounds great.
I mean, what could be greater than golf with a gator when you're playing Gator Golf?
Yep. So in terms of like the feel of it, it is like everybody's sitting around, you're holding your hands above the little marble thing, and then it's like 3, 2, 1, and then it's just fucking madness.
It's chaos, right?
It's just, it is a good job of making you feel like what you're supposed to be playing, because you feel like a ravenous, insane beast just trying to gobble up the marbles without even understanding what you're eating or what you're doing. And then you just, when it's all over, you all just like gasp and you look down and you just desperately count your marbles to see who won.
So in this way, there's a good metaphor for American capitalism.
Yes.
That's
going to be about. So what I do like is that there were names, but I don't care about those ones. The names that are good, in 2009, they renamed them.
The hippos.
And, yeah, the four hippos. And what they are is Sweetie, bottomless, veggie, and picky, which I like because that kind of expresses at least some sort of personality with all of them.
Sweet Potamus being the last name.
Oh, shit, that's
it's
very
Sweetie
good.
Potamus, Bottomless Potamus.
Bottomless Potamus.
Veggie Potamus, and what was the fourth one?
Picky.
Picky Potamus.
So are they a family?
It sounds like they're a family.
So this is like four kids that need to learn to share.
Oh.
And that's what a lot of 90-minute movies are based on.
It's always a good go-to theme sharing.
Yeah.
What is the conflict? What is our kick? How does it kick off? You know what I mean? Are they just hungry the whole time? And it's just they're trying to get food, you know? Is it an insatiable appetite?
Kung Fu Panda, he was like hungry boy.
It's true. Kung
Fu
Panda.
That's like his main thing. Like just a very hungry boy.
Yeah, but you're talking about like a Kung Fu Panda that's like all pose.
It's
all
four pose
and no Kung Fu.
And they eat the whole time.
Maybe, okay, do you do like it's four hippos that just love to eat?
Yeah.
And then, but it's like kind of like it's a metaphor for consumption and environmentalism. Also a popular theme for 90-minute kids movies.
Love it.
Like, could you do like a Ferngully kind of heat on it where like they realize that their appetites are destroying the rainforest and they need to live in balance?
Feels a little bit...
feels preachy.
Feels a little bit preachy for us humans to make a movie about poor old hippos. Be like, you fucks are eating too much grass and are hurting the land.
No, but
what are
like,
the marbles? What are the marbles?
So bear with me. But it's like, imagine that, like, again, the hippos are a metaphor for man, is what I'm saying.
It just feels like a very human, because you could also take an angle, you know, if we're going to look at ourselves, where the hippos are hungry because man is taking away their environment.
Okay, so there's like an evil capitalist.
Well, yeah, because what you're suggesting is that Ferngully, instead of John Deere and humans being the problem, is the little Ferngully people who are eating too much.
And Ayn Rand's Ferngully.
I was looking at what do hippos eat, and it looks like they eat aquatic plants. They prefer short, creeping grass, and small green
shoots.
What
did you think? Let me ask you this. When you played that game and you were just...
I definitely thought it was like apples.
Apples.
Like fruits.
Interesting. Fruits.
Yeah. So hippos aren't carnivorous.
No.
So why is one of them called veggie hippo? Aren't they all veggie hippos?
They're like, you're so pretentious. You're not that
so
special.
Pretentious. I thought they were gumballs, for anyone keeping track.
Gumballs.
Because there's this Japanese set of gums that look a lot like them, and I love them.
Okay, now what if the white balls were, like, what if it's like...
Candy.
No, yeah, but what if it's like, do you remember with the gods must be crazy, and then
yeah,
like the Coke bottle falls from the sky?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you do like the
it's like the
Trident Gum Corporation is flying a plane of gumballs over the rainforest, and then like... I don't know, the Russian military shoots the plane down. Yeah, so you do like, okay, so like there's wacky accident, all the gumballs.
Wacky accident.
All the gumballs fall into the rainforest, and then the hippos are like, holy shit, these things taste great. And it like upsets the equilibrium. And now they're going after these gumballs.
I don't know.
Like, okay, wait, that could kind of like, do you guys remember Operation Dumbo Drop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is nothing like that. I don't know why I brought that up. Other than the fact that something falls out of an airplane. But if you're talking about like, yes, there's this Willy Wonka's airplane is delivering, and it drops, one of their crates drops, and it's these delicious jawbreakers, and these hippos who eat grass all day taste these jawbreakers, and it turns into chaos. They all fight each other to eat them, and they all get as much
Starts
as they can.
War.
And then they're done. There's nothing left. And now they're obsessed with them, and they go on a journey together. They have to work together to go find where these jawbreakers came from. And they could be like maybe four hippos that, like, you know, don't go outside
Once
much.
We're friends.
I mean, they're outside all the time, but they don't go outside of their lake or wherever they stay all the time. This is going to be a way for them to get on the big wide world. But then when they show up and see where the jawbreakers are, there'll be a little bit of the grass is always greener on the other side sort of message when they go into the evil capitalist American culture. And they're
Okay. So, all right. So it's the four hippos, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do that. Their mom and dad were the king and queen of the jungle. And then the mom and dad died. And
from
left
lions, who are now lions. The king of the queen and queen.
They were shot by poachers or whatever. Oh, or they just, they're on a trip. They went on a cruise or something like that. Or they, and
yeah,
so,
yeah. I'm seeing the hippos from like Fantasia, right?
Yeah, so they're basically like, they're these four hippos that frolic around and have a good time in the jungle, in the lagoon, right? Mm-hmm. Like swimming around, just splashing each other, you know, like they're kind of rambunctious. You know, they cause a lot of trouble, but it's like, again, this kind of peace, right? And it's like, you know, like we're veggie hippos, we eat healthy. Like, you know, they're obeying the parents' rules, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's almost like a Garden of Eden type thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
a Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden. Hey, that's what it should be called. That's where I'm from, the Garden of Eden. And And so then,
as opposed to being called Hungry Hungry Hippos.
No, not the movie.
The place,
where they're
Matt,
from,
the
Matt.
Place. Their home, okay, the Garden
okay.
of Eden.
Okay, yes.
So
that's why I call my kitchen.
That's, yes. That's the same joke, but just about your kitchen. You can't know, but we came up with the joke. You can't just substitute a new like setup to the joke. A new joke.
It's called workshopping. Will get on my level.
All right, so they're in the Garden of Eden, yep. which is what I call my kitchen. Nice new joke. Third joke.
Guys, when I go to the produce section of the grocery store, you know what I call it?
What do you call it?
Call it the Garden of Eden. Pretty wild little joke I came up with.
They're at the Garden of Eden.
Nice.
Or soup plantation, am I
hey!
Right? So basically, it's like, yes, they have these rules they're supposed to follow. Like, you're supposed mm-hmm. to eat healthy, right? Like, the mom mm-hmm. and dad left them, like, a little chart of what to eat and not mm-hmm. eat, right? And it's like, eat plants. Don't eat weird shit that falls from the sky. And then this crate falls from the sky, and it's full of these
candy.
White balls,
yeah.
these the candy. And or they're marshmallows, let's say, right? And then so they eat, like, one of them, like, it's Sweetiepotamus because she's
yeah,
got
yeah,
the
sweetie.
Sweet
tooth. Yeah, yeah, sweetie. Yeah.
I guess Sweetie doesn't have to be a girl. That's a little heteronormative of me. A little hipponormative of me, am I right? Okay, so they eat the marshmallows, right? And it's like the tree of knowledge. It's like the fruit of knowledge, right? It's like, holy shit. And then they tear through them, kind of to your point, Matt.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, man, like, these things are really, really good. We got to get more. Where are they? They get hooked, right? And the movie is kind of like a metaphor for candy, right? Like, and it's mm-hmm. about these, it's like about how kids, it's like teaching kids, like, you know, hey, man, like, don't go too hog wild on that candy.
Okay, so these hippos are like, you know, that shit that dropped from the sky was awesome.
Yeah, we got to go find more of that.
Why would we eat grass? Oh, you know what it is? Okay, it's also a little bit of a lesson of, like, they just instantly forget where they came from. They're like, yo, grass sucks. This is like,
I never liked
grass. The bird, your home sucks.
Well,
this
okay.
candy's better. I'm leaving this joint. They're like, but what about your friends? What about all the grass? The grass used to be good enough for you. And it's that endless, because, like, once you get something better, you can't go back.
They got that taste.
And they're going to leave their home just for some candy because
yeah.
they're so hungry? Yeah.
I'm in my head, I'm seeing some kind of, like, New York industrialist candy magnet being like, these hippos are what we need for this advertising campaign. You
these
see?
Hippos
oh,
are
shit.
Sensational.
Oh, shit.
Like
okay,
a P.T. Barnum-esque.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here's where the next heat is. It's like, how long are you going to fucking follow hippos going through a forest being like, where's my
jawbreaker?
They're
going to go to the big
That's
city.
That's a fucking
yeah.
movie.
They go to New York City.
Now, Freddie knows this, this radio lab.
Mm.
We were supposed to eat hippo meat.
We were supposed to eat it. Holy shit.
In the
okay.
In the 1920s, I believe it was the 1920s, right?
Well, so we had a problem, which was like, dang, we got to feed ourselves.
And there's a lot of land in Florida.
There's a lot
and stuff
of useless ass land in the marshlands.
That we can't raise cows or chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're in Africa and they saw these hippos. And they're like, big, lots of meat. This is perfect. There's even, you can even
vegetarians, like, it's pretty easy to raise. We could do it.
Yeah. And
they
even
eat vegetarians.
They eat vegetarians.
But you can literally find, like, posters of, like, famous actors and actresses in that time period, like, taking a bite and be like, hippo, it tastes better than pork and stuff like that. They were making this big push, and they were going to buy hippos and start breeding hippos all over Florida and shit. And that was going to be our cow meat. Like, we were going to have more hippo meat than cow meat. And literally the only reason it fell apart was just, like, the lack of instant communication. It's some weird thing where, like, it was literally getting voted on in Congress. But it was, like, I forget exactly what the story is, but essentially it's, like, one person, like the lobbyist, was in Africa, and then he missed the meeting and all this stuff, and then it just never happened. But you could do this.
It was
like
1910. There was a meat shortage, peak years of immigration, cities were going huge, meat industry is getting bigger and uglier. I'm reading off of a Wired article about this. Mm-hmm. And then also, we conquered America. The frontiers are closed, so it's an identity crisis and a meat crisis.
Because you could also get a little bit of like the Pinocchio feel, where like they go to the big city and this guy, you know, takes them. He's like, oh, I'll show you where the jawbreakers are. He's like, guy, boys, I figured it out. Look at these fat, delicious beasts. We'll eat them up. And little do they know, everybody's gonna get hungry for them. So,
that's good. I like that.
It's also just the idea of like four hippos walking into like 1910s, like pre-depression New York is just a funny image to me.
I like, okay, so yes, here's the stuff I like.
Yeah.
I like these four siblings who can't share and don't get along and are always ravenously gobbling everything up,
yeah.
right? Like and then they get the taste, right? Like one of them tastes the forbidden fruit, then all of them do, right? And again, the parents have been like, there's only one rule when we're gone, which is only eat grass, right? Yeah. And then, like, they're like, man, I'm sick of grass. I want to eat something else. And then they see the stuff fall from the sky or whatever, yeah. right? So I like that they're on this journey. I like that they don't really respect home or family or sharing. These are yeah. values they're going to learn. I like that they never really get along with each other, but now they're going to have to all work together to go get...
Delicious jawbreakers.
And they are, so they go to the big city because they see the return address on the crate, New York City. And there's like a wise owl or like a
now is this like Paddington? Like, do they just like stand up on two legs and then walk onto a boat?
I think they like maybe they're all disguised as humans, but it's like bad disguises.
That's so good.
Did you see Shaun the Sheep?
Yes.
Okay, I think that's sort of style. Like,
I didn't see Shaun the Sheep.
Okay, it's Paddington. If Paddington didn't speak English, but like they stand up and they pretend to be human and stuff.
Yeah, but they're
animals. Like,
okay, so then there's
you gotta have the in Shaun the Sheep. They have this character, but when he gets there, there's some like big game, old school like Jumanji like poacher who's like, I think those are hippos.
In 1910, do you do an element where just nobody knows what a hippo is? They just think they're weird people. They're just like, oh, those four are weird people.
You could go off of that. Like, we were all idiots in 1910. What are you talking about?
I'm just really imagining them standing up with, like, coats and, like, you know, fedoras, like, standing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I definitely, yeah. like, yeah, it's the hippo, like, in, you know, like, they're in, you know, like, fancy dresses. Like, one yeah. of them has the Jawbreakers as a pearl necklace. Definitely doing one of them seeing pearls and thinking that it's Jaws.
Oh, that's very
Jawbreakers,
good.
And they go in and gobble them all up yeah. and leave. And wait, they're wait, like, wait. Those weren't that at all. And then the cops are like, it's the biggest pearl heist of the century.
No, that's the like, old-timey, like, additional complications. They go to like the Natural History Museum and it's like the world's greatest pearl, like farmed from South, and then they accidentally eat it and they're like, the pearl heist. Yeah, exactly.
No, okay. Definitely the mayor's wife. And then the mayor's like, you were touching my wife. And it's like, then the police are like, you stole the pearls or whatever, and they get in trouble, and it's because they're too hungry.
I like one of them eating a big fancy pearl.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
You have like an Inspector Clouseau-esque detective. Or, like, there was a gang of criminals that were trying to steal the pearl. Or
and they're trying
like
to
that.
Kill one of them now because, like, it's in that hippo.
It's too bad they're all brothers and sisters, because you could do, like, a fun little Lady and Tramp moment where they both have one side of a pearl necklace and they're like... They come together and kiss.
All right.
These four siblings, their parents are away. They're going on a fun vacation.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're all old enough to take care of yourselves. You're definitely matured. You are not the ravenous little kids that we, you know, were raising for the last however long hippos live. And they leave and instantly they prove their parents wrong.
Yeah.
And they're crazy. They're messing up the whole lake. All the neighbors are like, oh my God, we're in the parents coming back. These four hungry, hungry hippos are the scourge of this neighborhood. And Freddy's leaving, so we'll...
I've been sick, so I've been drinking a lot of fluids. So I'm going to the bathroom.
All right, Matt, what's the secret word this week for when Freddy gets back that's going to be the secret word that's like you and I know? It means that like we're telling the audience that Freddy eats poop. Like, what's the word that means
Freddy eats poop?
Freddy eats poop.
I'm going to take a sip of this mug. Every time we say I'm going to take a sip of this mug, it means Freddy eats poop.
Okay.
So then...
Freddy's back, everyone. Hey, Freddy, how you doing?
Hey, we do the thing where you like in a rush and you like flush at the same time and then you try and beat the flush.
Where were we?
We were...
What happens when the jawbreakers come?
So here's what I'm... Again, it's like the parents set up this rule. They're like, only eat grass. Like, you guys gotta... Like, don't get rowdy while we're away, right?
Freddie, why don't you ever take a sip from these mugs? Because I'm gonna
take a sip from... Yeah, why don't you take a sip from the mug? Like,
you've got his mug and you're not taking a sip from the mug.
Matt sips from his mug. I sip from my mug. Why haven't you sipped from your mug yet?
I can pour the Gatorade.
Pour the Gatorade in the mug and take a sip from your mug.
You know, we know you like taking a sip from mugs.
Just Gatorade gives you that good mouth feel. You know what I mean?
Nice. Yeah.
Sipping from a mug gives you good mouth feel, Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm. Oh, quality. Mm. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
Is that what you sound like when you take a sip from a mug?
Yeah, you always got to do that.
Okay, end of act one.
Focus.
Okay, jawbreakers fall. Yep. These hungry, hungry hippos.
They eat them. They get crazy for it. They get crazy for the taste of
jawbreakers.
Do they
share right away? No, this thing breaks open.
There's
tons of
jawbreakers.
Yeah, you get your first overhead of all four of them just eating all the jawbreakers. And then you cut to that long shot where they're all just trying to chew them.
I think you
it
have
sounds
it.
Like rocks in their teeth, you know? Like,
I think you have that first, like, you have that first kind of, like, standoff, right? Because it's like, who's going to break mom and dad's rules first,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And it's like, if Pickypotamus eats one, then, like, someone will have eaten one, so then I can eat one. Like, and then, like, you know, we'll just, like, you know, like, so it's everyone's waiting, and then someone
cracks
first.
So we all have
first.
Had one, and then they're like, wait, but now I can get as many as I want.
One of them's wet, and it's covered in a bunch of grass, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to eat this grass. Something stuck to it.
Yeah.
Oops. And they eat it, like, and then they...
Yeah, separately, each one of them eats one in secret, and then they all get the crazy taste, and they all descend on this pile of...
Does it turn them ravenous?
Yes.
Act one, ends with the jawbreaker showing up, yeah. right? Like, and then act two is, do we eat or not eat the jawbreakers? They eat the jawbreakers. They devour them. They're like, we got to get more jawbreakers. All right, truce. No eating stuff while the other people aren't eating. Like, we all got to work together.
We all have
now.
To eat at the same time.
I feel like they all ate so many of them so quickly they couldn't even enjoy them. And then they all look and there's none left and they see one in the middle and they all stare at each other and they all start arguing about who should get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even taste them. I want to taste them. They're like, well, that's because you eat too fast or whatever. And then a bird flies and picks it up and neither of them get that final taste. So it's that energy of like, well, I needed one more.
Or they need like the one that's left. Is like there's like an animal with a really good sense of smell, mm-hmm. and they need to give it to the animal with the sense of smell so that he can smell it and show them the way to more of them. Do you know what I mean? So they all have to work together with this last one. They all have to overcome their own base desire to devour it and work together to find more.
Yeah.
Do you want to bring another creature into this?
I mean, it's just like, imagine it's like the wise old nose owl. And it's like this owl with a big nose that smells it. And it's like, you have to go north. Like,
smelly owl.
Is he with him for the whole time?
No. He's just like the gatekeeper that sends them into, you know, the next part of the movie.
Okay. Because they also, they look and they're like, because the funny thing could also be like, they're like, oh.
Or it's another hippo called Smelly Hippo.
I was going to say, they're like, oh, we got to, where'd that plane go? There's a big metal bird that flew overhead. We got to find it. And then you get that fun shot where they're like, we got to get to high ground. The hippos are climbing a tree. And you're like, I've never seen a hippo climb a tree. That's really funny. And they get to the top and the tree bends because they're so fat and they can't see over the top and the kids are laughing and then the tree flips and it hits one of them in the butt and the hippo farts. Holy shit, this movie's going to be 90 minutes. This is great.
Holy shit, this movie's going to be as long as a movie.
All right, so then they go to the big city to look for the jawbreakers, right?
Yep.
Okay, so like, yeah, is there like much of a journey or they essentially get there?
I think you do, like, they're like, this white magic ball is from New York City, and then they got to get on a boat to New York City. And
what's the funny way they pronounce New York City? So, you know, they don't know what New York City is, but we know, so we feel smart when they say it's stupid. It's a good, easy joke. You need these jokes in order to make this thing last 90 minutes. So how would they pronounce New York City, Will?
They pronounce it New York City. New York City.
New York City. Nice.
They pronounce it.
Not quite a trailer moment, but good. Chuckle the audience.
All right, well, let's talk about these four hippos. Yeah. Okay, because to me, it's like you also do, like, they all go to the city. Each one of them is seduced by a different temptation in the city, right? Yes. Like, each one of them has something that, you know, like, they have their own white ball that they think is the oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have a very stupid idea. Because I like that each one of them thinks a different white ball
is a thing.
Is the jawbreaker, right? Okay. And one of them sees the moon. And thinks that it's one of the jawbreakers, like, stuck in the sky. And then, like, somehow through a series of contrivances, he winds up launching into space. Because it's like, again, it's like the idea, in terms of the messages that the movie is about, it's about sharing, it's about working together, it's about, you know, going off on your own is stupid and is going to get you killed, right? Yeah. So, like, again, I like one of them eating the pearl and getting embroiled in some sort of like detective caper. Another one sees, again, like a lady with a pearl necklace and is now trying to eat this lady. Like, and it's like, I don't know. One of them sees the moon. And the fourth one, I guess, you know, maybe it's like, you don't want them all to be separate, though. You want them to be working together. What are the names? Okay, so we got Sweetie-potamus, Bottomless-potamus, Veggie-potamus, and Picky-potamus, right? So let's try to, like, what are the personalities here? So Sweetie-potamus is the blue hippo who is maybe like...
Wouldn't harm a fly.
But is also the one with that, like, real sweet tooth. Maybe Sweetie-potamus, like... Maybe Sweetie-potamus is the one who's, like, the Leonardo of the team.
The ringleader.
The ringleader, who, like, acts like they're high and mighty, right? But then they're the first one to succumb to the temptation.
Yeah, I feel like they'd be the one that...
The moral conscience, man.
Yes, and Sweetie-potamus has a big old buck tooth. And, like, what's that? It's my sweet tooth.
So, yes, and they would probably be the one that's, like, the most, like, not exactly wet blanket, but, like, oh, I don't know, we're going to get in trouble.
The anxious one who's the most struggling with the moral quandary of to eat or not eat the jawbreakers.
Bottomless just want to eat.
Bottomless is the Michelangelo.
Bottomless is the Michelangelo. Yeah, but Bottomless wants to eat the moon. He's pure id, right?
Yeah.
Or Bottomless becomes the leader of the criminals who are doing the pearl heist because he's like, and they're like, wow, this guy,
no, that's
gee,
that's picky. Are you kidding? He's like, oh, I only like the finest, most pickiest.
Okay, so Picky's a snob.
Yeah, so he gets involved in high, he likes high fashion and gets into all that stuff.
So then we got Picky and Veggie.
Veggie's in the weed.
The weed hippo.
You know, like, it's
Veggie's
a kid's
could
movie.
Just be the weird one. Yeah, like, they always have like one of the...
Like the surfer, like they're like Veggie is like the
oh, chill.
The hippie-potamus.
Yes. God,
if you will.
Nice. In Cars, there's like a stone.
There's a stoner car. Yeah, there's a car that smokes weed in Cars.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're hippies. And the exhaust pipe goes like, that's a stoner joke, Pixar. Cool. All
right, so you got to do the, you got your hippopotami. This you probably do two boys, two girls.
Oh, you know what's great about that is that you can do the posters, and each one has like their own poster, and it's like the veggie ones. Like he puts the pot in hippopotamus.
Okay, but going past, I'm gonna take a sip of my.
You're taking a sip from your mug. Okay.
But the look like Paddington, they show up, and then there's a story because they get they like get taken in by a family, and then it's about if he's gonna be accepted or whatnot.
Yes, true enough.
Yes, this is like if the this is like if the marbles or the jawbreakers were like the One Ring, they just show up at Mordor, and somebody's like, yo, you want more of those rings?
So okay, so we have the beginnings of a hero's journey. You have they show up, they get hooked on the taste, and now they're going to work together, which is the kind of new thing. They're actually going to act like siblings to each other and work cooperate with the goal of getting more jawbreakers. And now the search for the jawbreakers begins. What are these magical things?
So, the first basic obstacle is like getting to where the plane is, which gets you to New York. What is the new challenge when they get there?
They still have to figure out where they're still looking for the jawbreakers.
Sure, but
right?
I mean, it's at a certain point, whether or not they get on the same plane that the jawbreakers
they will
are,
eventually
they find
out.
They eventually find them where they're at, and I think that's
what stops them from,
because you can't just like they find them and then they discover what they are. Like, do they just keep like in jawbreakers,
this movie
or does
could,
it become about that
see,
there's a whole world of abundance?
This
now
movie
they're in a city where there's food everywhere.
This movie could flip. They could find the jawbreakers, and then they become so ravenous for them, it turns into a Godzilla movie. And then it's like humans trying to fight off these four hippos. They eat the city.
Oh, it's like a Dwayne the Rock Johnson Rampage type thing. Like, and we follow someone else.
Or it's just a hard midpoint change where it's like, these hippos are killing the city. And it's like this World War One ace.
No,
has to like-
actually, it's like they realize it's a little bit like the end of Cabin in the Woods. It's like at their low point, you're like, oh, this is the low point where they're going to go back home. And their low point is like, we should destroy this society that got us to this, to be this ravenous, hungry hippos. And then they just fucking burn down.
All right, I will zag for a second that you could do a movie where it's like The Host, but the same exact beginning. Like this shady candy company is dumping a bunch of its failed jawbreakers in the jungle, right? Okay. Just because they got to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. And then they've introduced this food to a local populace of a hippo tribe. Mm-hmm. And then the hippos eat them and get addicted to them. And then this horde of roided out, rage-filled, hungry, hungry, hungry hippos descends on the city where the jawbreakers are
This
made.
Is very good. Fuck the movie we're coming up with. That's bullshit. Because here's what you do. Yes, because the feel of hungry is like, I like the idea of people, the mystery is, what the fuck do these hippos want? Because these hippos are looking, they're not looking for, you know, the delicious jawbreakers you can find at your normal grocery store. They're looking for this weird-ass experimental shit that were dumped in the forest or whatever, or the jungles where they live, right? And they've tracked their way back to the city. So now these creatures are eating everything in sight, looking for this thing. So the characters, like, that's the problem. Like, they don't know what they want. So people are, like, on their rooftop screaming, throwing everything they can at these hippos. And whatever they give them is not enough to satisfy them.
Okay, like, so then you do, like, it's like a Dante's Peak, and he's a environmental scientist.
Yeah.
And she's an anti, like, one of those anti-poacher people that chases.
A poaching poacher.
A poacher poacher.
Poacher poacher. I poach poachers.
And
then at first it's like a joke. Like haha, I poach poachers. And then finally he's like, hey, you want to come back?
Well,
to
they do have those. Like, it's like a whole task force. Like,
like, well, I'll come back to my place. And there's like, oh, you're like, oh, finally, this movie's going to get a little sexy. I've been waiting for this. And then he walks in and she's like, oh, you want to see my trophies? There's just severed human heads. He's like, what the hell is this? Like, I said I was a poacher poacher.
Hell yeah.
I mean, if you were going to do that, then it would be like, then the turn at the end is they realize they got to play the hippos against each other. Like,
no,
do you know what
I
mean?
It's like you don't blame the hippos. They're like, they're the final thing's gonna be like the mean general, the, you know, the man is like, we're gonna shoot these beautiful animals where they sleep. And then the guy's like, no,
okay,
it's not their fault.
Okay,
it's
okay.
It's like Free Willy. And
what if these are the two plots in the movie?
Okay.
What if we do like, do you know what I mean? Like, we're with,
like the goofy kids movie.
And yes. And then, so then the joke is like, we're also with the humans who are like, is these wacky hippos are just marauding, causing chaos everywhere, right? And so then you're also cutting to like the serious scientist and like the girl that, you know, he's got a crush on or whatever. And they're like, my God, what could be causing this in the local hippo population? They don't realize that, like,
that's genius. What I love about that is, like, Freddy's been going off on One Punch Man, because one thing he likes about is that they changed their, like, Again, anime does this thing where they can change animation styles. Like, he can be this, like, super goofball, then it gets, like, super intense and epic, and they change it. I like the idea that, so this is kind of like that, in that you're, like, following these cute hippos who just want this delicious Jawbreakers, and we're giving them, and it's, like, a funny, like DreamWorks movie. And then you're also doing this, like, Godzilla flick, where it's like, we gotta stop these hippos that are killing people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's this collision of, like, the two things, right? Yes. Where, like, you know, it's like, and it's the, I think from, like, a kid's movie perspective, it's, like, the fun kid's movie and the dumb adults who don't understand what the fun kids movie is.
Yeah, it's obviously all of, like, comedic. Like, the science stuff is almost like a parody of Godzilla. It's,
yeah, like, yeah, but, like, this is your kind of subplot, essentially. Okay. Yes. Is that fun?
Yes. Yeah, it's fun. You would have a kid. Okay, I feel like it's a kid. Or it could be a guy. But I feel like you want somebody who, like, somebody
who knows the hippos. Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Rampage.
Yeah, somebody who sympathizes with the hippos when they come in.
I'm a hippo behavioral psychologist. All they're trying to do is save
them. Yeah.
Hippo behavioral psychologist.
Yeah, that's very good. That's what it is.
And he's a hippo. It's like,
this is, he is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. And you do, it's clearly Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's like a, he's a hippo study. He studies hippos or whatever. He loves hippos. He's taken the Hippocratic Oath.
Oh, my God.
Which, where he's forsworn to protect and preserve the hippo population.
Yes.
Yep.
We'll get a hippo.
And it's like a Johnny Bravo type guy, essentially, who's like again, like a sort of blown out version of Steve Irwin, or like, you know, like a, like I commune with it. It's this person who thinks they have this special bond with nature, but has no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
Oh, and they're asked, like, what's your deal with hippos? They're just another dumb animal. And it was like, his parents were,
my parents were hippos.
His parents were also nature, whatever, preservationists or whatever, and their boat capsized and they all drowned. But what saved him was a little hippo pulled him up from the ocean, and he was saved by a hippo. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, he loved hippos.
Nice.
He's raised by a hippo.
15 minutes left, by the way. Let's try and square the circle.
Okay, so Dwayne The Rock Johnson is... Oh, so, it was somebody's... Should we get a name?
Yeah, yeah, get a name for our...
Well, there's somebody's birthday who kind of... I almost didn't want to give him the name because he kind of demanded it. He's like, it's my birthday, so you better use my name. But you know what? Fuck you, we're not using... No, we're going to use your name.
Yeah, who's the birthday... All right, who's
Let's
the birthday
use their
boy?
Name. Let's use their
Who's
name.
The birthday boy?
We don't want to set a precedent, though. Don't demand things from us.
This is a one-shot deal. One person got the birthday wish, so everyone who didn't think to tell us it was their birthday, it's too late.
Too late.
Oh, this is actually a really good name. It's okay. Will McLaughlin.
Nice. Will McLaughlin, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Is a hippo behavioral scientist, and he is living in where? It doesn't need to be New York.
It could be like Metropolis.
Well,
right?
No, because it's like he gets called in to figure out what's going on, right? So like your first introduction to, like, there's the other character, right? Mm-hmm. Who's like on the ground after the you do a wacky scene at a farm is like one of the first things, because Picky-potamus has lost his glasses, right? Mm-hmm. So his vision is blurry and he sees all these sheep and he thinks the sheep are the white ball.
So good.
So then he chases the sheep and everything goes crazy and the whole farm gets destroyed, and then he spits out the sheep and then he runs off or whatever, right?
And then you hard cut to
a
helicopters, right?
Blood.
And then it's like someone, it's like, you know, like it's the guy taking the notes, and it's like someone from the EPA or whatever, and they're like, my God, it's the hippos. Something's gotten into them. What is this? Like, we need to, you know who we need to call.
You need to call the president of the United States, and the president says, you know who you need to call.
And
not
then
the,
you cut
not
to,
me.
And then you cut to Dwayne The Rock Johnson chopping wood in the forest or whatever, and they're like, we hear you're the world's top hippo man. Like, we need your help.
That was a long time ago.
I don't know about top hippo man, but then he turns around and there's a hippo standing there, and he hands the hippo the log and he goes, go ahead, you can take it to the kitchen. The hippo walks away like, man, he sure knows how to enslave those hippos. That's awesome. That's my wife.
So they're trying to figure out what's going on with the hippos.
Yeah. Yes.
Meanwhile, our four wacky hippos have hit it big time in the city, right? Because, like, again, like they've wound up on a boat headed to New York City where the big Jawbreakers are. So they're looking for the Jawbreakers.
I love that this is both a live action and a CG 3D.
I mean, it's essentially
movie.
it's like King Kong
Smurfs.
It's like King Kong doesn't know what's going on. I feel like this just ends with him being like, hunger killed the beast. Dad is like, these poor hippos just don't know what they're
all right,
in for.
We need to circle the wagon a little bit. We need to bring this in and actually figure out the rest of the movie. Yeah. Okay, so what? So they're looking for the hippo and they're looking for the white ball in the city, right? And you get some fun, wacky sequences like them eating the pearl and them.
It's like some like Daily Planet style type of building, and there's a big globe and They're like, we're going to eat this globe.
Yeah, or like there's a golf tournament going on and they see all the golf balls. And then so you do like everyone's being really quiet at the golf game and then these hippos decide. It's like that kind of thing.
Shaun
the Sheep has a whole bit where it's like they are dressed up and they're going to fancy restaurants and they're ordering food. And
yeah, look, on their end, you're definitely like you're following these hippos and they're trying to find stuff and they're getting into trouble, right? And yes. You don't want them to get caught because they'll be... From Will McLaughlin's storyline, we know that there's him who's trying to solve the problem, but we also know there are hunters that are trying to take these hippos down. So a lot of the fun is, I think there's just a lot of hijinks where it's like they follow this lady, they see a lady with pearls and they follow her and they show up in this fucking party and they're going around eating all the pearls and then sure enough, the bad guys come and they gotta escape. You're like, oh no, our hippo buddy's gonna get caught
so
by the bad guys.
I think in the human storyline, like you have a power player pulling the strings like Tilda Swinton in Okja.
Yes.
Right? Who yeah. is trying to come up with hippo meat, right?
Well,
it's something where it's like they've been trying to figure out how to, because the problem is the hippo would be the perfect meat for their, but they don't know how to trick them because hippos are so wily and cunning. They've never been able to capture hippos in the wild.
So you go to the meat. I was gonna say what I was getting to is you could steal. This is a little bit of stealing from iZombie. Mm-hmm. But what you could do is these jawbreakers. Let's say we do set this in like night. This is like post Mad Men when people are realizing smoking's bad,
mm-hmm.
right? So the smoking company needs something else that's addictive that people can just eat nonstop. Instead of going for gum, they're going for jawbreakers, and this is what they're doing. They're testing. They're making these jawbreakers that are super addictive. So in iZombie, it's like it's an energy drink, and they're trying to make energy drinks like addictive and super powerful, and then some of them makes people into zombies, mm-hmm. and it's an accident that comes out. But this would be like, this was their experimental. They can't experiment in America because it's illegal, so they sent it to another
country.
Or on humans. So they sent it to another country and it spilled. So first, when you come to them, they're like, well, God damn it, that was like our only load. Like, what happened to the experiments? Like, sorry, the plane dropped the cargo or whatever. And then, so you have this thing where the guy, you'd have Dwayne the Rock Johnson trying to figure out, like, what's going on. He starts realizing, these guys are all eating all these white things or whatever. I just imagine this moment where his secretary is eating this brand of jawbreaker. She's like, man, these are just so damn addictive. And he's like,
Wait a minute.
He has a chemical analysis. He's like, it's this jawbreaker company that's trying to make super addictive jawbreakers. And he must have got caught by the hippos.
I guess I did like the idea that someone wants to eat the hippos. That's the only thing. I like the idea that someone's like, hippos are going to be the new food source.
The only thing I don't, which I like.
Because what I like about it is what it brings to the stakes. So like the hippos don't realize. It's a dramatic irony that, because it's one thing, okay, it's addictive jawbreakers. Oh, fucking no. Like I'm like, but it's like something that directly is the stakes are the hippos are going to get turned into meat. And then it's also like this has stakes for hippo kind as we know it.
What you would do, I'm not saying just what you would do, the way that would play out. Kind of like a zombie, but the way that would play out, because I like the hippos eating, so we can figure that out. I just have a few, I'm not quite sure where that goes, but the way you do it is like, it's not just like, it's again, it's a little cartoony, it's a kid's movie, it's like
half of it at least.
They it's a formula. This formula was clearly perfected because they're like, if people eat these, they're gonna be so ravenous. Like, look at these hippos; they can't live without them. If we can figure out, but they don't have the formula because the plane crashed, so they have to catch the hippos in order to get what it was made out of, or whatever, and then they can make jawbreakers, and everybody's gonna buy them all the time, or whatever.
Can I pitch something? You do. It's the Wacky Food Corporation, right? There's mm-hmm. this company that is like a global food, like again, like a Nestle or something like that, right? And they're looking for, the profits are down. They're looking for that next great thing, right? So you do that. You have a character who's like our kind of like a failed Willy Wonka, who's a candy inventor. He works in the candy company, portion of the company. He came up with this jawbreaker and it was a dud. So they dumped all the contents in Africa or whatever, not Africa, wherever the jungle is. And they got
the marshlands.
The marshlands. And so the company is like, just bear with me. It would be like, you have the evil CEO of the company realizes the hippos are hooked on this jawbreaker, and the hippos are looking for the jawbreakers. They find the candy guy, and he's like this, like, you know, sort of like kindly older, you know, gentleman or mm-hmm. whatever. And then you do, meanwhile, the company is like, oh, we're going to tell this guy we're going to make the candy so that we can, you know, use it as hippo bait so we can, because hippos are the real thing. Like the, so that we can, this will be our next food product or something like that.
I guess the only thing with it is like, it feels like the jawbreakers come out of nowhere. Whereas like if the jawbreakers are at the beginning, I feel like that should be like the MacGuffin. And like, I can get the bad guys, like if what they were doing was illegal, if this guy figures out how to save these hippos by realizing what they're addicted to are these like experimental candy that's more addictive than cigarettes or whatever, this company's going to get in trouble too. So it is up for like their goals. Like they got to fucking clean the evidence. Like this is a problem. Like great that it, like the test worked. so we're gonna put this thing out, but we gotta stop these hippos from getting caught, otherwise people are gonna find, like, they don't want people to find out. Like, as this guy starts getting close, he's like, what are these hippos addicted to? And, like, you know, one of them leaves behind like a spit wad, and he does a test. It's like, this has the same
sugar flavor profile as these jawbreakers.
It, just like these jawbreakers or whatever.
So I don't think I understand.
It was like, this candy company is trying to make the most addictive candy in the world that not only kids but adults will buy. No matter what, you'll go to the store and people will buy them in the same levels that people buy cigarettes. People will be popping in jawbreakers every single second of the day. Driving your car, bring a pack of jawbreakers. You'll be empty with them by the time you get to the supermarket. Buy more jawbreakers.
Okay.
And they're testing them, but it's illegal because what they're doing is essentially putting drugs in them. There's cocaine or whatever it is. They're putting all this crazy shit in them to make them super addictive, which is they already got in trouble because it's the tobacco company or whatever. So they're doing experiments in a foreign country so they wouldn't get caught. The guy's like, I did it. I made jawbreakers. And you see behind them, kids are literally screaming and climbing on the cages and killing each other. For he's like, it's better than you could ever imagine. And their most addictive candies the world's ever seen. We're sending them over to you now, and as well as the formula, which is only on this piece of paper for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then the plane drops these candies accidentally, and these hungry hippos eat them, and they get super addicted to them, so they go searching for them. So they go finding, they find the place where they were made, and these hippos are ravenous looking for them. This guy, the good guy, is like, what's happened to these hippos? What are they looking for? So he's trying to discover the...
You know what you do? You hit this first thing, his first clue that something's wrong, is they're analyzing a hippo stool sample, and he smells it, and he's like, this smells amazing. And then he tastes it, and he's like, this tastes like pure candy! Something's changed in these hippos' diets!
It should be, and he keeps eating.
And then they're all, everyone
like,
gets
my
like,
God,
all of this, just everyone's this scarfing so down hippo poop. Okay,
gentlemen, there's a problem here. Why do you say that? Because we all ate hippopotamus's poo. Like, whatever's in that is very addictive.
Yeah,
or whatever it is. So this drug company or tobacco company who's making these jawbreakers that are going to be the next cigarettes.
Okay.
And again, you would do the reason they're dangerous is because the side effect is like cigarettes. It's like these jawbreakers give you cancer or whatever. There's something horrible.
They're going to turn people into their zombie slaves, essentially. Yeah, they're going to be the ultimate consumer. Once we have them all addicted, we'll rule the world or whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm on board.
Okay.
All right.
So yeah, these hippos, their journey is mostly just getting in hijinks and they're learning about it.
All right, okay, so they discover, at some point they've got to get to what, the factory, or they get captured, or like, what do we, like, at some point they got to, because again, to me, like, yeah. the ultimate midpoint is like, they've all worked together and they've, you know, like, or whatever, but you're going to do that moment where like, but you also want to bring it back to that hungry hippo moment where they all turn on each other.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
If there's some way that's like, they all get captured by they get all the jawbreakers they want, but they get captured by the bad guy, by Mr. Tobacco. Because like I guess in the human plot it'd be like him, if you can make it to that, when he gets the hippos, he's gonna be able to make these super jawbreakers, so the world's in trouble now. I don't know if the hippos know that. I don't think the hippo storyline can ever be like, we need to escape so that we don't get used to make the world bad or whatever.
Maybe you do one of them gets, okay, because could you do like
one gets caught
and you do like, again, maybe the joke is that the jawbreakers are like impossible to digest. So like they need to recover a jawbreaker from this hippo's stomach. So they're going to cut him open, right? They're going to dissect the hippo to get the every last bit of this jawbreaker out of him, right?
And they're all, you have that weird joke because it's the first thought. It's like, wait, haven't they pooped? And then they're like, oh, that explains why we've been so constipated. They do an x-ray and just all these jawbreakers are just like a damn, like they're just jammed up in there. They're too big to poop out.
It's like, why don't we just wait for them to, you know? And then he's like,
there's no time. The World's Fair is here and the World's Fair needs, we have to get these jawbreakers in the mouths of these people. Get them out, wash them from these butts, wash the butt stink off them and get them to the World's Fair.
Just imagine. Where like they give the hippo, like I don't know how they get the hippo to poop, but you just do it. It's like this machine gun of jawbreakers.
Oh shit, that's how they break out of their prison cell.
Oh, because they're indestructible jawbreakers.
Okay, all right. So the because they're all getting tummy aches, right? Yeah. And they're eating all sorts of weird junk now too, because they're just eating pearls and golf balls and whatever, right? It's a nightmare in there.
Yeah, it's the ultimate kid.
And so then this is so good, because the Dwayne the Rock Johnson guy realizes, like, crikey, you know what, these hippos, he's like, you know what we haven't seen once while we've been trailing these hippos is poop.
Other than one
they're not pooping.
Other than the one we just ate, but
you do something else with that, right? Yeah. So then you do, he's got to get that. He's like, these hippos are like, the more they eat, like, they don't, like, you got to poop, right?
Yeah.
Everybody poops.
He knows some sacred. He's got like some herb, like a ginkgo. Oh, like it's. He's got something that he is like. It's like hippo laxative, and it can make so the hippos laxative, poop. Yeah. And he just wants to save the hippos' lives, right? So then you would do like that's the prison break. Is they get he gets them this magical leaf that makes them poop, and then they use it to blast out of prison.
Oh, okay, that's very good. So what? Okay, that's your midpoint. They get caught in prison, mm-hmm. and little nobody quite understands the full global scale of this jawbreaker problem. So he. And little does he realize that all Mr. Bad Tobacco Person's trying to do is try and get these jawbreakers out. So he gives them laxative. He joins up with the other three hippos. He's like, I'll join you guys. I just want to help you guys out or whatever. You need to stop eating people, though. Like, okay, our buddy's been caught or whatever. So they do this prison break. They give him laxatives. All the hippos start pooping jawbreakers. And it's a hilarious sequence where they're shooting people with pooping jawbreakers. And they break out. But... he gave them the jawbreakers.
Yeah.
So like the hippos, I have skips. They're like, doesn't matter. He holds up a big poopy jawbreaker.
I have everything I need right here. The hostile takeover of this candy company now continue and with then, this in my hands.
So then Dwayne the Rock Johnson's putting the hippos back on a boat. It's like, well, it's been crazy. And then he suddenly pieces it together Kaiser Sose style. And he's like, wait a second. This guy's doing something horrible. And they're like, we'll help you. Nobody's going to believe you because this story is insane. So the four hippos help him. Instead of being selfish and going home, they go back. They all work together to save the city.
How do they save the city?
They eat the guy. They straight up demolish him. They quarter him. He literally gets torn
the Rock Johnson
asunder.
Literally goes to the police. Like, you need to go to the favorite, everybody's favorite candy company because they made super addictive jawbreakers that they, you know.
He's about to release him at the World's Fair where the entire globe has gathered, but then the stage gets stormed by four hippos who
could
tear
it
him.
Be, all right, maybe
limb
we lose.
From limb.
Maybe we lose the pooping thing.
Okay,
but could the end of this thing be like again, like all of these super addictive jawbreakers are going to get unleashed on the populace at the World's Fair, right? Nice. At CandyCon, the biggest candy convention in the world. And so the hippos have to work together to eat them all before anyone gets addicted to them.
Yes, that's the end. Yes. Your split heist is Dwayne the Rock Johnson is punching him or something on something tall like the Ferris wheel, but all the hippos are below eating all the candy. So you have all these montages where like a kid gets a bunch of
jawbreakers. Oh, you'll be
great. Oh, yummy! And then a hippo comes and like takes the bullet essentially
for your own good, kid. You'll be great. Is that it's the first ever duel Ferris wheel, and one goes clockwise and one goes counterclockwise. So that's just like. Dwayne's on one and the bad guy's on the other, and it's just like build up for that punch.
Has anybody done a fight between two Ferris wheels?
Well, this will be the first movie to do it.
Pretty good.
Okay. So not to the pooping then? Okay, so they're poop. Okay, so
we'll figure out the set pieces when we get into it.
All right, I think you. Okay, oh my god! All right,
we're out of time.
We'll try to wing it in the elevator pitch to get what the wise and wherefores of that are.
More or less at the end, I would say here, just whether or not we do the heists with the hippos, I could also see that when the hippos are about to leave, Mr. Dwayne the Rock Johnson has figured out the plot. He tells the police. The bad guy gets him arrested for being fucking insane, which everybody thought he was crazy anyways because he's a hippo behavioral psychologist. And he's the only one who knows it. So the hippos have to come back and save Dwayne the Rock Johnson to save the day.
Yeah, I just still don't feel like I know what the midpoint of this movie is.
The hippos get caught.
But by what? What are you fucking talking about? By who? By what? What? Okay, so but what does that mean?
Tobacco Man gets what he wanted. Tobacco Man, they get the midpoint is the hippos find their fucking, their jackpot of... jawbreaker.
So he lays a trap.
But it was
them.
A trap. Okay. So they're caught. So they got what they wanted, but now their tummy hurts, just like a kid. They got their candy, but now their tummy hurts because they're in prison. And then he's got what he wanted, which is he's got the hippos, which is how he's going to get the original jawbreaker so he can make a super candy.
So what did they find that they thought they had the jackpot?
They said normal jawbreakers, not his perfect jawbreaker.
He gussied up some jawbreaker. And
he laid a trap for
them.
He found out that they want jawbreakers, and then... they descended and then they ate a bunch of plastic balls.
Yeah.
And then.
In fact, you even do a funny thing.
Well,
like,
okay, that's good though. Because that's good. Because then what you do is they have to poop all the plastic balls out to bust out of prison. Because you do like, it was just a bunch of fake jawbreakers.
That's
right?
A good sentence for this podcast.
So, yes, you do that. It was like, it's like, we have these old titanium orbs. We'll just paint them white and then we'll lure them in.
They're indestructible.
So then that's how, and then, And then, so then Dwayne the Rock Johnson shows up and slips them they all work together to bust out of prison. And then, but they're like, but oh no, the super jawbreakers are, wait, no, but they had all the jawbreakers in their butts originally. Okay. I think maybe one of them has a little piece of jawbreaker stuck behind his tooth and they use that to reverse engineer a whole bunch of them or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth.
Yeah. They're going to take Sweet Tooth's tooth.
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's it.
Oh, because he saves a piece behind his tooth.
Yeah, he's been licking a piece behind his tooth the whole time.
And you do a scene where he's sleeping and he's snoring, and his mouth's open, and all the hippos are trying to put their mouths into his mouth to take the little piece of jawbreaker he's got.
Yeah.
So is he just like high the whole time?
I don't know. I don't know what you do with Sweet Tooth, but I like the idea that, yeah, like his tooth has like the jawbreaker DNA, so they're going to remove his tooth to reverse engineer the jawbreaker. And so then they've got to bust together. They've all got to work together by pooping out these titanium balls to break out of prison so that they can save Sweet Tooth and get out of there. But then they're like, no, but they got the formula somehow from Sweet Tooth's tooth. I don't know.
Nice.
And now they got to go save the
Sweet
world.
Tooth loses his tooth, but they're like, Sweet Tooth, you weren't defined by your anatomical features. You've had Sweet Tooth this whole time. He's like, you're right. And he like eats and they tear the guy apart.
Yes, yeah, so at the end, they definitely tear a guy apart.
It's just like, just spray the whole front
row. Anyway, they go back to the jungle, and they've learned a valuable lesson about not eating too much candy.
And then the parents come back, and they're like, did you kids have a good time when we were away? They're like, we had the best. And like, where'd you get this? Like, Sweet Tooth, your tooth fell out. And they're like, they have all these like souvenirs, and they barf up a pearl, and that's Hungry Hungry Hippo's tooth to search for the
black
pearl. I was
going to say, they tear the guy apart, they eat him. And then Johnson puts on a button and waves them off, and then whatever is somebody, his partner, they're watching them go, and they're like, you know what's the only problem? It's like, what? It's like, now they have a taste for human blood. And then you cut to them on the boat, and they're all like shivering. They're like, I'm really hungry for something. And then Hungry Hungry Hippos 2 is definitely them coming back for human blood.
Yes.
Okay.
When we come back.
That's a movie, I guess.
The elevator pitch.
Genre film fans, hear me. I know you're out there. Do not be ashamed of your love for gore, action, sci-fi, or fantasy. It's time to come out of the shadows, because on Switchblade Sisters, we celebrate our love for genre films. I'm film critic April Wolf. Each week, I have a conversation with a different female filmmaker about their fave genre film, and we cover film craft, getting projects off the ground, working with actors, and our general love for genre movies. I've had so many great guests, like Heather Graham.
In the past, it's like so many films are made by men that the female point of view is not always respected, which is why all these stories haven't come out till now.
Jennifer's Body director, Karin Kusama.
I think there's a lot more fantasy and a lot more expectation projected onto a woman director.
Comedian and actor, Kate Berlant.
I mean, it sounds so cheesy to talk about it in yourself, like, you just keep going. I'm just a vessel. Like, I just do it. You know, I don't think, but like, that is what it is.
And many others. So check out Switchblade Sisters every Thursday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Story Break, everybody. This is a recent lottery winner, Matthew Arnold. So I've just received about $100 million. And yes,
nice.
I know I have a kid on the way, but fuck that. I bought the rights to Hungry Hungry Hippos, and now the power's in my hand. That's right. I get to decide if I make this movie.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, you guys already know this, because before the break, I both gave you the task of coming up with the perfect Hungry Hungry Hippos jingle. And whoever impresses me, well, I guess you'll make the movie.
Well, fun history lesson. This is actually how Gilligan's Island got made, is that they walked into the room and sang the Gilligan's Island theme song. And then that was the pitch for the show.
Really?
Like, this used to be a thing back in the day, was you would pitch with the jingle for the show. So Freddie and I have concocted separate jingles.
Yep. Competing jingles. This is a rap battle.
So it's a rap battle.
Do you want me to accompany your jingle?
Yes, if you could. Please don't sabotage my
part
of the rap
battle.
I won't sabotage it. All right, we want a good, clean jingle fight. Freddie, you want to go first?
No, I'm going to flip a coin.
Okay.
Right. Heads or tails?
Heads.
Okay, if it's heads, you go first. It's tails.
So I go first?
You go first.
All right, this is my jingle for the Hungry Hungry Hippos movie. Freddie, give me a conga, conga, conga. We're hungry, hungry hippos. Our parents left us alone. We're supposed to eat our veggies. But what's this tasty candy? It's white and round and tasty. We're eating it real hasty. And now we are a Jonesin. So we are a goin' all the way to New York City, where white orbs are aplenty. Pearls and moons and golf balls. We're gonna eat them all. Hey, I'm William McLaughlin, and I am going all in to save my friends the hippos from some corporate bozos. The hippos fell for a trap, and now they've got a crap to poop their way to freedom, cause Sweet Tooth really needs them. It's hippos to the rescue. We saved our buddy Sweet Tooth, but we're just getting started. Now Candy Con's our target. We're gobbling all the candy to stop the corporate baddies. We've learned a precious lesson. Sharing with your family is a blessing.
That's very
not
good.
Bad. Mine is a little more closer to the...
Do you wish you had gone first, or...
Hungry, hungry hippos were eating plants all day. Then all of a sudden, some candy came their way. Hungry, hungry hippos ate those sweets off the floor. Then they went across an ocean to try and get some more. Hungry, hungry hippos ate a pearl or two. And maybe one of them gets blasted to the moon. Hungry, hungry hippos fuck shit up in NYC. But then one of them gets captured and now they're down to three. Hungry, hungry hippos escape all as a group. When Dwayne the Rock Johnson makes them all poop. Hungry, hungry hippos, they ate all of those sweets and came back from the city with a taste for human meat. Both of those sum up the movie pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
One's kind of the producer's cut and one's the director's cut.
Yes, true. Would you two be willing to work together?
A collab. Now, is this Freddie, is this F Dubs feat Will or Will feat F Dubs?
Yeah, who's the feat on the album?
This is Matt feat Will and Freddie.
And this is Storybreak feat Will and Matt and Freddie. Hey. Thank you all for listening.
Will, you want some old-timey music as you go through the art?
Yes, I would absolutely love that, Freddie. Thank you so much. Well, guys, it was a great week for fan art here at Story Break. We got a couple really wonderful submissions. We got an incredible little animation from 8 recapping the little bit at the end of the last episode that features 8 getting brought down by the Popo for copyright violations. So just so you know, 8, we're still coming after you. We have the house surrounded. Come out with your hands up. Thanks as well to Andrew J. Young for an incredible poster for Right Place, Wrong Time, which I thought was a very good title for the time travel Hitler Nazi assassination movie. And then we also got a really awesome piece of fan art from Dread Tower, who also gave us a poster for Right Place, Wrong Time. We'll have all of those up on the Story Break Twitter account for you to check out at RJ
Story. One of those posters is intense. It's just a 7-year-old girl holding a gun. Pointing it at Hitler.
It's pretty cool. So, that was a really nice, fun, pulpy poster from Dread Tower. So
thanks,
you guys.
Everybody.
Thank you guys so much. The art really makes our day, makes this podcast so worthwhile because putting up with these two guys is hell on earth. So really makes my day. And thanks to everyone who's been leaving us reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, thanks everyone following us on RJ Story Break. Just a little bit of news this week. One of the things that we've been working on for the past couple months, Anime Crimes Division, Season 2, starring Sungwan Cho, a.k.a. ProZD. You may have seen some of his very funny videos on Twitter. Season 2 comes out this week, this Friday, September 7th. It's going to be on YouTube.com/RocketJump and also on Crunchyroll. If you have that. So do check that out. I think it came out really well. We're really proud of it. Everybody's gotten their hands in on there.
It's actually written by good boy Anthony. Birch, written by Anthony, we should get on this podcast.
Yeah, we've been talking
about that. We should get Anthony on this podcast.
We had a sister on, who's the cooler Birch. But
yeah, that's true. Anime Crimes Division Season 2. And if you haven't seen Season 1, it's on our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/RocketJump. So check it out. If you're a fan of just anime at all, it's a very silly show, and we had a really good time making it. And Sungwan, ProZD is a blast to work with. Riley Rose Critchlow as well, who was in VGHS. Check it out.
A little bit more podcast news. We are officially on Spotify now. So we have been trying to get on Spotify for a while, and we've officially got the podcast on Spotify. So if you have friends who are friends of Spotify, tell them to listen to our show on Spotify because Spotify's cool.
I think what you meant to say is that you've been trying to get on Spotify for a while.
I don't know who this is for.
Clearly, me and Freddie didn't even know we were on. So Will's been doing all the work and got us on Spotify.
We did it, everyone.
We're on Spotify. If you like listening to podcasts on Spotify, check us out on Spotify.
Are there reviews on Spotify?
No, not yet.
Okay, then I don't care.
Thanks as well to Cameron Covell, as always, our ace sound editor, for making us sound good.
And MaximumFun.org for having this very silly show.
You can catch great podcasts on MaximumFun.org, like Story Break.
And Stop Podcasting Yourself, Jordan Jesse Go, Judge John Hodgman, all the McElroy shows.
Freddie, weren't
stuff. You
on a MaximumFun podcast?
Yeah,
recently.
I was on International Waters, which just came out this week, this Labor Day week. So if you want to hear my goofy insanity. You want more of that, boy,
then,
oh boy.
Then what are you waiting for?
Very bad.
Very bad. What are you talking about? God,
two for one. Will, that's my move, doing the same joke twice.
You know what my move is? What's that? The Garden of Eden.
Hey, you guys hungry? You want to go get something at the Garden of Eden? We're going to go hang out at the Garden of Eden and get some food. We hope you guys had a good time with the podcast this week.
The Garden of Eaten Break, brought to you by Story Break.
We'll bring it, I mean,
on
Freddy,
Spotify.
Get us out here, Freddie.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. And until next week, eat
at
wherever
you
are
going.
Okay, goodbye.
Hey there, folks. I'm writer and performer Dave Holmes, and I host International Waters, where we pair a team of comedians in LA against a team of comedians in London in a pop culture trivia battle royale. Comedians like Jimmy Pardo.
My Aunt Pat for Christmas once got me a candelabra, you know, for my collection. And my brother said, I didn't know you collected candelabras. And I went, I do. I now have one.
Bill Dwyer.
Bob Barker's turning over in his almost grave right now.
He's very much and many more. Join us every other week on International Waters with me, Dave Holmes. Find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This new Racklin Reavers team sure looks like a bunch of underdogs. No way they can win this game. Oh, they just won the game!
You know, you ain't half bad for an orc.
You know, I think I had you dwarves wrong.
God, I hope nobody realizes I'm the one eating the babies.
Hey, creepy Han Solo. You sort of feel like a brother to me now.
Thanks, kid, for letting me betray you.
Ooh, right in the back! So much treachery!
Our quarterback is now the bad guy's quarterback. Who's gonna be our quarterback?
I am.
There are some things you cannot breed.
Defeat must be absolute. It's not enough to win. Others must fail. Gore Vidal said that.
Oh my god, they're doing the play that killed Eric's brother! Die, human.
Not this human.
Blood Bowl. The New York Times raves it's Mad Max meets Lord of the Rings meets Moneyball meets Seven Samurai. A Story Break picture touching down to a summer near you.
Well, there you have it, folks. A new Story Break experiment sliced and diced by Cameron Covell. The trailer, a little trailer thing. We've been talking about doing something like that for a bit, haven't we?
I really like the trailer, which I have not listened to yet because we recorded this before we saw the finished cut, but I'm assuming it's great.
But you folks at home know for sure whether or not it was just good or merely great. Why don't you tweet at us at RJ Story Break? Do let us know what you think about the new little ending tag. We're trying out some stuff, and that's one of the things that we tried out. We would love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you, we did hear from you a little bit this week in terms of fan art. Let's hand the mic over to Will.
Hey guys, it's me, Will, again on
and
the
gals.
Podcast and gals
and everybody else.
We got another poster for our time travel Hitler assassination movie from Dane Sager Kelly, who did this very funny, like, it's like Siri is what caused the problem.
I can see
Siri,
that
I want to go back in time and kill Hitler's 7-year-old. It was very good.
I can see that.
Good job, Dane. Really good poster. And then we also got one for Hungry Hungry Hippos from Andrew Young. They're hungry for adventure is the tagline on that one. These are both up on the Rocket Jump Story Break Twitter account. So go check them out there and laugh along in real time.
You know what I tried this week that's actually a lot harder than you think? Try just drawing a hippo right now.
Oh, like the hippo, like
just
the
a
bicycle
hippo.
Test?
Just draw a hippo. I mean, right you now. Have a good idea in your head of what you think it is. Your hands will not do what you want that to do.
I feel like my hippo would look as close to a hippo as my horse would look like to a horse. Like, so, I don't think it's like that much harder than. So not like either of them is the point.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Thank you to MaximumFun.org for having us on their excellent podcast network. Head over to MaximumFun.org and check out all manner of audio-based entertainment that you can fill the void in your lives with, including this show.
I'd also like to thank Yakuza 0 for being the greatest video game of all time. Yes, that me, Matt, and Freddie are all obsessed with now. So if you haven't played Yakuza 0, go play it. It's great.
Speaking of which, if you want to see me playing Yakuza 0, you can head over to fb.gg, the Facebook streaming site, /rockettojump.com, spelled out DOTCOM. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you again also to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes. So until next time, what
is
your
favorite
Story Break episode? I hope it's this one. Bye, guys.
The news today is terrible, so why not forget about it while listening to Jonah Radio with Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody.
Featuring Neil Mahoney.
Also me.
This is a podcast where we play music submitted by a listener. We hang out, we listen to new tunes, and we take submissions at Jonah Radio, RAYDIO, at gmail.com. Come and check us out. We're here anyway.
Yeah, we'll be here.
So, and that's it. Back to your regularly scheduled podcast.